Well, Psalm 121 is exactly what we have sung. After you have seen your own condition before the Lord, and only the Lord can really expose your condition. So many of the Christians, many of us today, we are happy the way we are because of the wrong traditional concept. I'm already saved. What else do you want from me? So I'm just waiting to die and go to heaven. This is what Christians were thinking about. But this is not what the Bible says. The Lord, after we are saved, the Lord has a lot to work in our lives, to change us, to transform us into His image, to save us to the uttermost. The initial salvation will only save you from eternal punishment. But the salvation by His life will transform your mind, will renew you, will save you to the uttermost, and to conform you to the image of Christ, to fully sanctify you, to make you like Him. That's why John, 1 John chapter 3 says, when He comes, we will be fully like Him. Right? So praise the Lord. Now if you see the condition of your soul, the fallen condition, who can help you? The pastor? Counseling? Do you think counseling will help you? Maybe for 1 week the counseling will help you. But the second week doesn't work anymore. The third week it will explode. Really. That's why hardly any marriage counseling will work. Why? Is it because the advice given was not good? The advice given may be very good, but the problem is there is nothing good here. The driving law in the Philippines, don't you have a driving law? Yes, aren't they good? Very good. But the problem is with the drivers. The drivers. We cannot keep the law. So, in Psalm 121, where are you going to find help? Well, there is another point in Psalm 120 we didn't touch. He says, I am for peace. I am for peace. The inner man is for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Who are they? Me. You like to quarrel with your wife? Do you like to quarrel with your wife? No, right? No. Of course you don't like to quarrel with your wife. Do you like to quarrel with your wife in your heart, in your spirit? Oh, I'm looking forward for tomorrow because I'm going to fight with her again. No, of course not. All of us, we love to have peace, right? Don't you love to have peace, Karina? Right. But you know, the strange thing is when you open your mouth, war comes. So if you keep your mouth shut, at least there's no war. But when you open your mouth, goodness, your word will stir up the other party, and when the other party also opens up his mouth, it will stir you up, and then the war starts. This is what it meant here. I'm for peace. But when I speak, when you speak, your wife will counter-speak. When your wife counter-speaks, you will be stirred up and you spoke some more. And she speaks some more. Goodness, at the end, although you want peace, what comes out? War comes out. This is our nature. Now tell me, you're just going to leave it as it is? No, it is not. So, what are you going to do? You have to deal with it, right? Don't say, well, that's the way I am. You know, I've talked to so many people, and they say, sorry, John, that's what I am. I am what I am. if you say that, then there's no more help. Well, how come if you have cancer, you got to see so many doctors? If you're sick, will you tell your dad, tells you go see a doctor? Sorry, I am what I am. Huh? Would you tell your dad that? If you have a toothache, what would you do? Go see a dentist, right? You will not tell your wife, no, sorry, Anna, I am what I am. No. You go get help. Now, how come in your nature you say, I am what I am? And you don't want to change. What about the lying lips? Why don't you change? What about the deceitful tongue? In the Chinese, it says, 鬼詐的舌头. 人是很鬼詐的. No. Don't you need help? But you always excuse yourself. Sorry, that's what I am. If you do that, you'll never change. There's no hope for you. That means you say, practically, I'm hopeless. If you say, I am what I am, if that is your excuse, that means you admit you're hopeless. Forget it. You know. But no. In verse 3, it says, what shall be given to you, O you false tongue? Do you say that to yourself, to your false lips? So you have to speak to your own self. What shall be given to you, your lying lips? Well, you have to say that. Don't say it's okay. No, if you say it's okay, you're hopeless. You should say, what shall I do with you? Lord, how should you deal with this? And how are you going to save me? Sharp arrows of the warrior. Now, let me see. Who is this warrior? Huh? In a way, yes. But in another way, you should be a warrior. That means you should decide, no, Lord, I don't want to have a lying lips. Then the Lord will give you a sharp arrow. But, you know, don't think it's easy to shoot an arrow. Have you ever shot one? Huh? No, you never tried one. How about you? With your muscles, you should be able to pull. Don't think it was easy. I tried it once. When I was in the Bay Area in San Francisco, one brother invited me to, you know, to try arrow shooting because that was his hobby. And I just moved there. And so I've been carrying heavy stuff for almost a whole week. So my muscles were just very tired. I thought, oh, chicken feet, right? It's very easy to pull a bow. Goodness. When I was going to try it, I couldn't pull it up to here. I couldn't pull it all the way. I was so surprised that I couldn't make it. Don't think it is easy to shoot an arrow. But a week later, I said, wait for another week. I'll come back and pull that thing. The next time around, when my hand is not tired and I could pull it all the way, it is not easy to pull a bow. It is not easy. Right? If you are not used to it, you cannot pull it. And then to really shoot, you need practice. Because it depends on the air, the wind, and it depends on the distance. So if you are not trained to do it, you can't shoot the mark. You can't hit the mark. So to deal, meaning to say, to deal with your problems, you should be very specific. When you tell a lie, do you tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me? I hate these lying lips. I don't want to do it again. If you're like that, you learn to shoot. You learn to be a warrior, to shoot the target. But if you let it go, you will not change. You will not change. You should learn to say no. You must be a warrior to deal with this, and the Lord will help you. But if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, that's the way I am, my lying lips, If you do that, you have nowhere to change. Right? So you need to be a warrior with the arrows, the sharp arrows. And you need to learn how to aim right. So that means that deal specifically with such a problem. Don't let it go. Then don't let your flesh go. Then the cause is from him, is God's judgment. What happened to Isaiah 6? You read. No, don't read it anymore. You can read it at home. We don't have time. The Lord told an angel to go get a coal from the altar and touch Isaiah's lips. So, the altar signifies the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord suffered there. He died there. So, it is a healing power there, right? But when you touch it, it is like a coal, a burning coal that judges you. So, if you don't judge and by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ to deal with that deceitful tongue and lying lips, it will continue to do it. So, on the one hand, through the warrior with the sharp arrows, on the other hand, through the burning coals from the altar. So the angels took a piece of coal and touched the lips. Do you want your lips to be burned? Do you? Have you ever been burned eating something that is hot in your mouth? Do you like that? It hurts. And the food is not half as hot as a burning coal. How do you want a burning coal to touch your lips, Benson? Is it pleasant? But what are you going to do? You need it. You need it. You know, the Chinese medicine is very bitter. Right? But if you're sick, bitter or not, you have to swallow it. You have no choice if you want to be healed. And that's God's remedy for your lying lips. Ah, 你知道我们这个人真爱乱准讲话。 This mouth is 真厉害。 James says our tongue is a dangerous little thing. It can set a forest on fire. So, for the Lord to deal with this, it is not a simple thing. But you need to be a person who is willing to deal with it. Now, who is going to help you do that? What about for peace? Oh, peace, my goodness. Peace is very important. Peace. I am for peace. Praise the Lord. You know, the children of God, God's people must be a children, a people of peace. What does Matthew chapter 5 says? Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called what? Children of God. So are you a peacemaker? Or are you a troublemaker? What is easier to be? Peacemaker or troublemaker? I think most of us are natural born troublemakers. But to be peacemaker, praise the Lord, Christ is our peace. Right? Now, we need to go on. I cannot dwell on that. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. To the hills is something higher than you. But a hill is much higher. Don't just go to something that is just 1 inch taller than you. He's not going to be able to help you. You should lift up your eyes to something much, much higher than just somebody who is a head taller than you. If you need help, go to the top. Go to really someone that can truly help you. Don't come to me. Fellow said, Brother John, help me. I'll tell you, I'm sorry. I'm not that capable. But I know someone who could help you. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, and you should ask a good question from whence comes my help? From whence? So who could help you? We have here some verses in the outline, right? Here, in page 2. No, I'm sorry, from page 3. Page 3, Psalm 121. Where does our help come from? From the Almighty Creator. You should learn how to ask these questions. Who could help me? From whence comes my help? Don't just go to somebody who is your equal. Don't think the pastor could help you. No. He couldn't even help himself. As long as he's a man, he cannot help you. Why? Because your problem is not human in nature. For your business, yes, somebody could help you. The bank could help you. No. Banco Filipinas can help you. Go there and they'll help you. Of course, with a price. Right? It depends on what kind of work you're doing or what kind of help you need. But when it comes to true spiritual help, don't think any man could help you. You're wrong if you think any man could help you. If you go to a Pharisee, a Pharisee could help you. Okay, you know, today we're in Christianity. Yeah? You may say, okay, they are Judaism, we are Christianity. What about if you were a Jew and at that time the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, the elders, there are 4 categories. You think they could help you? Were they able to help themselves? No. They're hypocrites, the Lord told them. Hypocrites. Why? Because you know the word, but you don't do it. You tell others to do it. You yourself don't do it. I went to a doctor one time and he says, I have the same problem. I said, then how can you help me? How come you still have your problem? You're a doctor. So if you're going to be a doctor, you better be able to really help yourself first and then you help others. No, I mean, a human doctor can help others. But, hey, who can help you truly, spiritually? So, be wise. Ask the question, who can help you? And don't try to be a spiritual doctor when you're not. The more you help others, the worse it gets. 哇,我们很喜欢帮别人,我来,我有经验,我来帮你,中国人说,夜帮也忙。 Before he comes to you for help, he's still at least surviving. After he got your help, he died. The patient died. We don't realize that the unique help is the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Who can help your soul, tell me. You think a psychiatrist could help your soul? Yeah. Where is it? You ask a psychiatrist, where is the soul? Where is the heart? Not a physical heart. Right. So, you should learn from the psalm here, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He created everything and He is your maker. He is your maker. He knows you inside out. And He is a God who searches the hidden parts, the reins. Psalm 139, Lord, search my heart. So, God is our unique help when it comes to spiritual help. Go to him. Pray to him. Because he is truly the only one that could help you.
Amen.
My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. We just sang it many times. Right. He will keep you. And he who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. And your doctor is with you all the time. Do you have such a doctor? Do you have a counselor that lives with you all the time, 24 hours a day? Where are you going to find a doctor who follows you around 24/7, day and night, and he doesn't sleep? Can you find such a help? But there is such a help here.
Amen.
He will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You know, your enemies, the enemies of God also doesn't sleep. So what are you going to do when you sleep? What are you going to do? He doesn't sleep and you sleep. So there is one who helps you, who is the creator of heavens and the earth. He doesn't sleep. And don't you think the one who made the heavens and the earth is capable to help you? Don't you think he's not capable? Or you think he's what? He made the heavens and the earth. The Almighty God. How is it he cannot help you? Do you think he cannot help you? He's the God who created everything, and he's the God who created you. So who is more qualified than this living God who can help you? What did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. Then why don't you go to him? Who can change you? Right? So here, the Lord is your keeper. Praise the Lord. He is your keeper. Right? The one who really helps you. And he is your protector. Nobody can help you and keep you more than the Lord. And he is your shade at your right hand. A wonderful shade. Neither the sun during the day nor the moon at night could really harm you. Right? So, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth until when? Even sometimes if you're a naughty boy. Right. Because you belong to him, because you trust in him. Because you're a child of God. Right. He is your protector. You know, dear brothers and sisters, many times we do not realize the power of darkness around us. Because you don't see it. So you think you're okay. But actually, the enemy is there existing all the time, trying to find a way to destroy. Did not Peter say that? He's like a what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And who is going to protect you from that? Your pastor? Okay, let's say he's like Samson, okay? But what about when he sleeps and the lion comes? What are you going to do? Who's going to protect you? Right. So we have to realize that the Lord is the only one who can help you. I cannot help you. No. No one can help you. After the conference, I'm gone. Even if I want to help you, if I could, I cannot. I cannot. I'm not here. You're my, yeah, I know you're my nephew, but Well, what's the use of Uncle John if he's not here to help you? Man's help is limited. That's why in all these verses, when you go home, you read some of these verses that tells you it's futile to trust a man to help you. And it doesn't mean physical help. Yes, man could help you physically. Right? You can hire some helper to do things for you. You can have a maid at home to help you. Right? You can have a lot of help, but these are help on human level. In your human life, but in your spiritual life, greater. Only He could help you. I don't care if you have a 10 PhD from theological school somewhere, you could not help anybody. No. If you're a Pharisee, you know the Bible so well, you cannot help anybody. No. The only help is the living God who created the heavens and the earth. You know how difficult it is to create heaven and earth? Can you do that? Oh, just create one mosquito. How about that? How about you just make one mosquito? Can you do it? Are you sure? Didn't you study biology? Yes. You major in biology, right? No? You didn't? Oh, no. Okay, who majors in biology here? Huh? Dr. Lorraine, you major in biology. Did they teach you how to create a fly, an ant, let alone dogs and cats? No, no, that's too big, okay. What about a little flea? No? Then why do you study biology for? Who could help you? No. No one could help you spiritually. No. You need to come to Him. You'll be surprised how close, how wonderful, how near this Creator is to you. So near that He lives in you, Jesse. He lives in you. Then why wouldn't you turn to Him? Why would you go to somebody else who is not able to help you, who thought he is able to help you, who pretends he is able to help you, but he cannot help you? How can I bring this point across to all of you? Who can change your temper? You go to a doctor tomorrow, see a doctor, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Lorraine, yeah, there's one right there. You know what my problem is? I had a terrible temper. Would you help me? What pills do you, would you prescribe? Give me a prescription. The most you can do is put you to sleep. Give you a strong dose of sleeping pills, but then the trouble is you might not wake up. He cannot change you. He cannot help you. Certain things a doctor could do to help you. But to really transform you into the image of Christ, to save you from the fallen nature to the uttermost, who could do that? So, and I want to let many of you brothers and sisters know, don't think you are 20 years, 30 years, 50 years in the church life, you can help somebody in the church to really change him. How many years have you been married? Only 20. Too short. Too short. I have been married for over 40 years, so at least twice the length of your marriage life. After 40-some years of marriage, I surrender. I cannot change my wife. Neither can she change me. So, don't try to change your wife. The more you try to change your wife, there'll be war. There'll be war. You pray for your wife. Why do you pray? Why is it you need to pray? Because you know the only one that can change your wife. And then when you pray, the Lord will tell you, how about you? The good thing about praying for your wife is the Lord will tell you, Schubert, what about you? What about if I change you first and I work on you first? How about that? You know, I know an older brother, and he told me this story himself. He was helping another older, very senior brother to go and have his cardiac, his heart checkup. So he drives, the other brother didn't drive, so he drove that other brother to the cardiologist. And it so happened that a cardiologist was a classmate of this driver, this brother's son. You're an old friend of my son, right? That's good. So that other older brother went in for a checkup. And he came out with flying colors, no problem. He got A's, no problem. And then that cardiologist says, since you're already here, and you're the father of my good friend, why don't I give you a check as well? I'll give you a checkup. You know, after the checkup, he says, you cannot go home. You may not come back again. I have to operate on you right away. So he was bringing another person for the checkup, and it ended up he was the real patient. And the doctor wouldn't let him go. He says, stay. We have to operate on you right away. Otherwise, you wouldn't know whether you'll have another day to live. So if you bring your wife to the doctor, the Lord will say, you're next. Let me check on you. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Yeah. Psalm 139, to this cardiologist, the real internist. Yeah. Psalm 139. I love these psalms, you know. Yeah. Psalm 139. Oh Lord, let me read to you, huh? You have searched me and known me. Praise the Lord. Who can know you better than the Lord himself? You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. My goodness, what a wonderful doctor. You understand my thought, even afar off. Don't think the Lord doesn't know what you're thinking. From afar off. Franklin, even before you came to the conference this morning, the Lord already knew what you were thinking. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you already know it all together. Even before I speak a word out of my tongue, the Lord already knows what I was going to say. How about that? Have you ever known a doctor before you even came? He already knew your sickness? Huh? And then you go to the doctor, he'll tell you, oh, no need to tell me, I already know what your sickness is. I know what medicine I'm going to give you. And have you ever met such a doctor? And eventually he is even the medicine. How about that? You have hedged me behind and before and lay your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too high, I cannot even attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heavens, you are there. Okay, my goodness, of course he is in the heavens. If I make my bed in hell, maybe he is not there. Behold, you are there too. How about that? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me and hide me, right? Even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day before the Lord. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So don't think you can hide anything from him. Right? For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. You already know me before I was born. So when did the Lord know you? When do you think the Lord knew you? When you were born? Oh, when you got saved? Oh, that's the day the Lord knew me. No, even before you were born. Long before you were born, the Lord knew you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? So, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you, what I am. Right? I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. You saw, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. So, hey, who is qualified to help you? Etc., etc. Right? Now, even though God knows everything, in verse 23, you should say, search me, O God, and know my heart. But if you're a person who doesn't care, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Then the Lord will not tell you. Okay. You know that brother who went to the doctor? He didn't know all of his arteries were plucked up. With all the pluck. He didn't know. So we need to have a checkup. When was the last time you have a checkup with the Lord? Johann. Ah, you see, he didn't even know. You have no record of your physical checkup? I mean spiritual checkup. When was the last time you have a MRI made? When was the last time you asked the Lord to search me and know my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me? You think you're okay? Are you okay? No? Well, you will not know if you don't go for a checkup, right? And lead me in the way everlasting, in the eternal way, the way of life. So, who can save you? Who is qualified to help you? Nobody else could help you except your Creator. Go to Him. Go to Him. Right? Then, let us continue in Psalm 122. Praise the Lord. The more you are saved, the more you will appreciate a church life. The salvation is not for you and yourselves alone. The next psalm will be what? Let's read it together. 1 and 2, okay? And 3. 1, 2, and 3. Amen. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes of God, amen, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. So, the last Psalms of the first group ended up in being in Jerusalem for God's building. What is Jerusalem? What is the meaning of Jerusalem? City of what? Peace. City of peace. You remember at the end of Psalm 1, it says, I love peace, but there was no peace. I am for peace, but there was no peace. Now, at the end of the first step, you have peace. Now you are in the city of peace. This is really wonderful. The church life must be a place where we are all at peace with one another. Right? It says here, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Am I to be in the house of God, not a physical house? Remember, the church life in the new covenant is not a physical, material building. It's not a cathedral. It is a spiritual house. You are a living stone to be built up a spiritual house. For the sake of some of the friends here who came, let us read what Peter said. Peter had no intention of building up Rome and the Vatican. No, definitely not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him, to Christ, as a living stone. My, even Christ is a stone. Right, chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. And remember, he is the chief cornerstone in verse 6. You also, as living stones, are being built up a what? A spiritual house, not a material house. You know, many times we do say on Sundays, where do you go on Sundays? We go to? You go to church. So what's the church? What is the church? That place there with an address? And a big sign of the cross, is that the church? According to Peter, that's not a church. We are the living stones here. And we should be built up together into a spiritual house. Something spiritual. Something that is absolutely from this realm. Not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. It is a spiritual house. And this spiritual house is at the same time a holy priesthood. So, who are you? A priest. The whole church is a priesthood. So, we have dual, not dual citizenship, but dual function. For God's building, you are a living stone. And in that spiritual house, you are a part of the holy priesthood. So you are a living stone for the building, and you are also a priest to serve in the house of God. So what are you, Jesse? A priest. So, who is a priest here? We should all raise up our hands. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices in Christ Jesus. Amen. For the enjoyment of God our Father. Right? So, in the third Psalms of this group, we come to Jerusalem. Very wonderful. So, our salvation, we need to be saved more and more, much more by His life for God's building. Otherwise, how can we be built up? If we quarrel you, I'm sure tomorrow either you're not here anymore or I'm not here anymore. Because I cannot stand you and you cannot stand me. I dislike Schubert and Schubert dislike me. How can we be together? You tell me. Can we meet together? No, impossible. So now in this third psalm of the first group, praise the Lord, there is Jerusalem. Proving to us that our salvation is not just for you and me, We need that salvation with a goal that we're going to Jerusalem. Remember, the ascension is to bring us to fulfill God's goal to build up Zion today. Because our final ascension is to the heavenly Zion in Revelation chapter 14, what we have read. So, we need to go to Psalm 122. Yeah. Right. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you happy to come to the meeting? Or are you say, okay, it's meeting time again, sorry. I have to go. I'm sorry I have to go, but is that your attitude? Is the meeting time more important than anything else in your life? I was glad when they say unto me, let us go and play basketball. Let us go to a movie. Or let us go for a cruise. I was glad when they say unto me, let us go for a cruise. No? How about you? Where is the best place you want to go? Why? Exactly. We're going there to meet this wonderful God. This is where the Lord is. It's the house of the Lord. Remember that. But also remember, it's not a cathedral, okay? Neither is it a physical building, right? With a ding-dong on top, right? Don't believe in that. No, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. That means fitly framed together. We are not just there, loosely coming together and then go home again and you don't care for me, I don't care for you, and just see you again next Sunday. That's not compacted together. But really, to be built up together. Paul said in Ephesians to be fitly framed together. And you need peace, you need life, you need Christ to be fitly framed together. Don't think you can be together without the Lord, without salvation. Right? Where the tribes go up, not go down. Okay, it says go up. The tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. We are here to testify that we are God's building here, right? God's kingdom, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set up there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. My, it's really wonderful. That means the church is not just a meeting. But here it gives us a taste that the church is God's kingdom. Yes, there's God's judgment here. I don't think we can do anything we like here. Firstly, to the testimony of Israel. What are we testifying here in the church life? What is our testimony? Our testimony is that this Christ is living. This is the living God here. We are not just here singing a few songs, listening to a message and go home. No, this is a conference. That's why I shared here. In a normal church meeting, I won't be sharing like this. Right? But the church life, we must testify that God is living. So when you come and every one of us come to the meeting and share your experience with the Lord, and somebody else comes who is not a believer, they will say, wow, their God is living. This is the reality of the living God. This here is the testimony of the Lord. We should not be impressed by the pastor or by anybody. We're here impressed by Christ. It's the testimony of the Lord. And to give thanks to the name of the Lord, because You have experienced so much of the Lord, you give thanks to Him. And then here the throne of judgment are set up. Praise the Lord. Here Christ is the head over all things. The thrones of the house of David. And here it is plural. It is plural. Why? Because in spiritual sense, we must be one with Christ. So the Lord says, He who is over, who has overcome, he will sit with me on my throne. My goodness, how big is this throne? How many can sit on one throne? We're going to sit with him on his throne? How big is this throne? It must be a long throne. Actually, if you are in Him and we are all in Him and baptized into Him. So if you are not baptized, you are not in Him. Sorry. Because baptism is not just into the water. Baptism is to baptize you into Christ. You said, I already received Christ into me. Yes, but you're not baptized into Him. So, you should be baptized into Him so that He is in you and you are in Him. Right? We'll see that later. But here, we will sit with Him on His throne. And there is judgment. The throne is not just for you to have a position there. No. God's throne is a throne of justice and righteousness and peace. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. Right? So here you can really see such a wonderful place. The most wonderful place to be is today in His house. I don't know of any more wonderful place to be. Yeah, that's why I'm always in His house. What did David say? Let us go to Psalm 27. Let's go to Psalm 27. This can only be spoken by a person who really know what is the reality of God's house. Verse 4. Are you sure? One thing? You only desire one thing of the Lord? Yeah? Not many things? How about a Mercedes-Benz? What about $1 billion? What about, what do you desire of the Lord? What do you desire of the Lord? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. How many days? All the days of my life. Is this really your desire? Have you really prayed that? How many really pray that? From the heart. How many pray that? For you, once a week, 2 hours, that's already very much. The rest of the week, you're too busy. Too busy making money. Too busy with your job. Too busy doing many, 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 many other things, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't do it anymore, but I'm just telling the truth, right? Because you're too busy for the Lord. But here, David says this is his desire all the days of his life to be in the house of the Lord. Why? What do you do there in the house of the Lord? Huh? Behold the beauty of the Lord. My. How wonderful is He? The beauty of the Lord. and to inquire of him at his temple. Right? And Psalm 23, you all know Psalm 23, at the very last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Praise the Lord. Now, in the first step already, going up, the third psalm of the first step is the house of the Lord. How important is the church for you? What place is Jerusalem in your heart? You know, Jerusalem is not just for you. Jerusalem is for God. So how important is Jerusalem in your heart? So, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Wonderful. Do you pray for the oneness? Do you pray for the peace, for the building up of the saints? How often do you pray for the church in Stuttgart and for the churches around the world? Once a week at a prayer meeting? Or do you come every day and you pray, you come together with Angie at home, says, Angie, let's pray for Jerusalem. Let's pray for the churches. Let's pray for the elders. Let's pray for the brothers and sisters. How often do you pray for the church in Quezon City to really become glorious, Karina? Once in a blue moon. But how often is the moon blue? Never. So once in a blue moon means never. Nobody says once in an orange moon. At least once in a while you see an orange moon. But the saying goes, once in a blue moon. That means never. Pray. For what? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love Jerusalem. My, wonderful. You know, we only say love the Lord. Oh, you love the Lord, right? Do you love the Lord? Yes. Do you love the church? May they prosper who love Jerusalem. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity be within your palaces. Prosperity here is not just, it doesn't mean, oh my, the church becomes rich. No, God forbid that a church becomes rich. Peter said, silver and gold have I much. Did he say that? Did Peter say that? Peter says, silver and gold have I none. You know, I love that children's song. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ. What? What is it? Of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Today, silver and gold have I much, but nobody rise up and walk. People think it's a blessing for the church to be rich. Today I'm going to tell you it's a curse for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be rich. Because riches corrupt you. The Bible never for once encouraged you to be rich. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be rich. But if you're rich, you need to help the poor, not the pastor, but the poor. the needy ones, which is well-pleasing to God. What did the Lord tell the rich man who came to him? Huh? Sell? Sell all you have and give it to me, did the Lord say that? Sell all you have and give it to me, did the Lord say that? Huh? What is the Lord? You all dare not answer me that question. What did the Lord say to that rich man? No, give it to Peter, give it to my disciples. They are working so hard trying to serve the Lord, you know. So give it to Peter, James, and John, and Matthew. How about that? Give it to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Bartholomew. Give it to Judas. He said, give it to the poor. Prosperity here means that a church will become alive, living. 中文圣经叫做兴旺，教会要兴旺，满有基督的成分， must be glorious, holy, without blemish, blameless. Today, people change even the gospel into the gospel of prosperity. I didn't see the gospel of prosperity in the Bible. The mega churches, wow, if you give the Lord $10, He will give you $10,000. Oh, everybody gives, right? Not because they love the Lord, but because they say the Lord will give you $10,000. Why not? It's a good business. You think the Lord is a money changer? Didn't He throw out all the money changers out of the temple? And now we're changing the gospel into the gospel of prosperity. To make you prosperous. No, 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 no. I don't care if your business is prosperous, but not the church. Not God's house. No. We need to realize the church must be rich in God. So the Lord says, you're rich in money, but you're poor in God. You don't have experience in the riches of God. Now, which kind of riches do you prefer to have in a church life? A big bank account so that we can build a tall, wonderful cathedral? No, this is not what the Lord wants. No, remember, Jerusalem is the city of the living God. It's a spiritual house. It's not a physical building. At the end, you're going to have a wonderful cathedral. Even you'll have a church basketball team. How about that? Good. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within your wall. Prosperity, this is not physical, monetary prosperity. It is spiritual prosperity. The unsearchable riches of Christ. This is what we need. This is what we need, brothers and sisters. The church must be rich in Christ, rich with God. So we must pray for that. And for the sake of my brethren and my companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. You love Jerusalem? This is the end of the first step. Loving Jerusalem. The mystery, the wonderful mystery is Christ and the church. Now, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loves the church. Could you read it to us, please? We will end this meeting with Christ loves the church. How about you, Toby? You love your business, you love your PhD, you love, what do you love? Tell me, you love your PhD very much? you love your profession? You want to be a professor? What do you love? Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave a lot of money for her. And gave $1 billion for her. Christ loves the church and gave her $1 billion. How about that? No? Are you sure? Christ loves the church and gave her $1 trillion. How about that? So, how do you show your love? How much you donate to the church? And if you donate 50,000, not pesos, dollars, we will put your name there in the meeting hall so that everybody will see, wow, Schubert. Wow, he is really a rich guy. He donated. Christ loves the church and donated 50 million. No. He what?
He gave himself for her.
He gave himself. How? By dying. He laid down his life for the church. Now, how do you love the church? By donating 1,000, 2,000, 10,000? Is that how you show the love? The Lord wants you, not your money. Not what you could give him. What does he need? He created everything in his life. If you own the whole of the Philippines and I come and give you 10,000, you look at this. What is that? You think the one who created the heavens and the earth needs your money, especially your pesos? Okay, you don't use your pesos. Okay, I'll give you dollars. I'll change it into your dollars. But hey, it's the same paper money. The printing press is the same. No. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. Right. So Christ loves the church. And here in step one, in the first group, it ended up in loving Jerusalem. Oh Lord, I love your church. I love Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the prosperity of Jerusalem, for the sake of our brethren, for the sake of the brothers and sisters, for the sake of your companion who is with you in the church life all the time. For those who bear the burden, do it together in oneness. And then for the sake of the Lord, you give yourself. You pray for Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right. That is the first group of the songs of ascent. My, if you come to this first step, first group, well, it's already not too bad. You're on the right track. You are on the right track. But if you don't care for Jerusalem, you don't care for the saints, you don't care for the building, you don't care for God's purpose, you're not even in the first step yet. You're somewhere outside in the desert. Praise the Lord.